Mike, could you talk a little bit about how you approach the issue of using EGFR antibodies in metastatic disease?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Axel did a great job of kind of selecting out the right patient. And I think that's really kind of the key. And I think, you know, the EGFR data in the frontline in the right patient is really strong, randomized, good data. And so I think there's no doubt that EGFR therapy in a frontline in the right patient is really an excellent active option for patients. And I would say in the United States, potentially, we should, you know, be considering using that more. I think the key issue is that you do need your, you know, sequencing data up front to really be able to select that patient. And so that's one of the key criteria to doing that. But I mean, I think we can even talk about the recent, you know, PANDA clinical trial that was, you know, presented at ASCO that looked at FOLFOX panitumumab versus 5-FU panitumumab, which I thought was elderly patients with metastatic colorectal cancer, which I thought was an excellent study because really showing that if you select the right patient, you can actually get equivalency basically. So it was kind of similar outcomes between the two, demonstrating that you select the right patient for panitumumab, you can have activity that's equivalent without even having to give oxaliplatin to this kind of elderly population. I think just getting the fact that you select the right patient, you can really have success in EGFR therapy. So I think that applies frontline clearly, but also applies as we can talk about second and third line as well in regards to kind of the selection of the HER2, BRAF, and RAS status and then sidedness.
That's interesting. Have you used capecitabine or 5-FU with an EGFR antibody, Mike?
In frontline, I have not, you know, but I have always thought that if you can, you know, select the right patient. There are clearly patients, historically, we've known this for a while, there are patients you give EGFR therapy to and it works fantastically well, right? We have seen that consistently for a number of years. And so the question has always been, who is that right patient, right? Even at the very beginning, when EGFR came onto the scene, we clearly knew that the vast majority of patients weren't benefiting at all. And that's when we then developed, you know, RAS, but clearly that improved it, but there are still a large number of patients not benefiting. And we're getting to the point that we understand it well enough that we're really selecting out that group that really has a high chance of responding. So it gets to the point of, you know, could that be a monotherapy for the right patient that's really active? And so I think that, you know, is something that is in the maintenance space is something I do clearly consider using in kind of later lines. I think the PANDA study is very interesting and I think is one that would be a very rational and reasonable approach as well, kind of in the elderly patient where you want to not have intensity, considering a, you know, fluoropyrimidine kind of anti-EGFR for the right selected patient that we've just talked about.
So I want to go through a case here. Axel had a 58-year-old patient. Axel, before you talk about him, have you tried this strategy of, you know, fluorouracil capecitabine / EGFR antibody without other chemotherapy?
So I have not yet used capecitabine in combination with an EGF receptor antibody based on some, let's say, conflicting or negative data from UK studies. But I've used 5-FU panitumumab, for instance, and as a maintenance therapy mainly. Similar to Mike, I've not yet used 5-FU panitumumab as first-line treatment in the select patients. But, you know, the PANDA study is interesting for elderly patients. Definitely, it's one of those points to consider.
Yeah, it is interesting. How about this 58-year-old man? I mean, without going through every single part of the case, Axel, maybe you can just kind of focus on some of the key points.
So this was a patient close by in Jackson, Tennessee, who had a very high tumor burden when I saw him, left-sided cancer, high CA levels, over 52,000 actually in the end. And he really needed a response. Unfortunately, we already had a rapid turnaround of a molecular profile. He was RAS, BRAF wild type, MSS, HER2 negative, NTRK negative. And in this case, I actually used FOLFOXIRI plus panitumumab based on some data from a German randomized study. You see here, this is a situation on the scan when you see the liver doesn't have a lot of leeway to get even worse. And you know, this is one of those patients where I'm also concerned if this tumor grows and doesn't really have a rapid response, you will not be able to potentially use a irinotecan because you'll have intrahepatic cholestasis and bilirubin will go up. So that's one of those areas where I believe, you know, a triplet chemotherapy plus, in this case, biologic panitumumab really made a lot of sense. And lo and behold, I mean, this patient had a rapid and lasting response. Primary tumor was still in place. He really had excellent tolerability, some rash on his face and scalp and upper trunk, and then had a rapid and long-lasting response, which allowed me actually, after 8 cycles, to de-escalate the treatment. And at that point, we really talked about, should we use panitumab as maintenance therapy? But, you know, I'm a little bit concerned about long-term EGF-7 antibody therapy as maintenance because, as Mike alluded to, we know that there are resistance mechanisms that come up. We see the emergence of RAS mutant clones, actually. So I did, in this case, chose to go for kind of a Kyro-3-like maintenance therapy with a fluoropyrimidine plus bevacizumab. And interestingly, the patient had a continued response. I mean, he even responded even further on this fluoropyrimidine plus bevacizumab. And his tumor marker, CA, just as a marker of overall tumor load, went from 52,000 now sustained to around 8 to 9. And he has excellent performance status. He has absolutely no side effects, no really treatment or tumor-related symptoms right now. So right now, I just saw him in June, CA 8.7, great tolerability. And this is really something which shows the power of the right treatment for the right patient at the right time. And right treatment here was the choice of a triplet and panitumab in this RAS wild-type left-sided tumor.
Any comments, Michael, on this case? And also, I think maybe what I perceive to be some reluctance on the part of oncologists in the United States to use EGFR antibodies, particularly up front. Any thoughts?
You know, I think I would say that, you know, this case for me is one where triplet therapy is just perfect, right? I mean, I think we have clearly consistent data showing that triplet is extremely active and seems to provide better kind of initial kind of response and benefit than doublet therapy. And even potentially in the longer term, you know, kind of trends to improving our kind of overall survival. So I think there's a lot of data supporting a triplet-based approach. I think I would say myself, I do a fair amount of triplet and I often do more anti-VEGF-based therapy such as bevacizumab than I do with kind of anti-GFR-based therapy. And I think there's clearly data out there for, I think, triplet with anti-GFR therapy. I think you are just taking a combination that has more concern for toxicity than anti-GFR, which tends to have a toxicity associated with it, though not necessarily synergistic here we're talking about. But so for me, for this case, I think, you know, the triplet would be the take home for me. I think this is clearly a case where you want to get an immediate response. You need to, you know, you have a liver that's threatened. And so you really have one option to really change the trajectory of this patient's case. And so you have to be kind of aggressive up front. And so I think the question that I think the anti-GFR versus the anti-VEGF, I think, is a little bit based on kind of the patient in regards to potentially tolerance, you know, would be my question there. I don't know, Axel, how often do you do the triplet and EGFR? Is that kind of your normal triplet kind of biologic pairing in the right setting? Or are you actually often are doing more an anti-VEGF?
I do more anti-VEGF. You know, you're absolutely right. This was a unique case, but it shows because I really needed a response. He needed a response. And when you look at the data from the German FOLFIRI study, we're talking about the rightly selected patient population, FOLFOXIRI plus panitumab, 90% response rate. I mean, that is colorectal cancer we're talking about, not lymphoma. So that shows you how powerful a regimen can be if we look at the right patient.